to the jungle. What's going on? My name is Jim Rome. Great to have you on a Monday. Hope you had an amazing weekend. What do you say we get right at this thing? Coming to you live from the Quicken Loans Studios. Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, and mortgage confidently. Great to be back. And especially coming off what I thought was a tremendous smack off 24. Sometimes I bust out for a vacation and we don't get the recap that we need. Today we have a complete recap. Back to business as usual. We'll talk about the Open Championship and a lot more, but lots of time to break down Smack Off 24, which not only lived up to the hype, but it smashed it. I feel great about the event, and literally I had nothing to do with it, which is to say, I feel great about everybody who called. I feel great about everybody who participated online. That was a great event, and it sets up nicely for our 25th. Next year, never too soon to start working that golden ticket. Remember, old Danica didn't go so well for Danica in the event, but she did get that golden ticket right after last year's Smack Off. Listen to Alvin, I can't believe it. We're already dropping that in one day after the event or one show after the event. So if you want to talk about what you heard on Friday, did I get it right? Did I get it wrong? Who showed up and showed out? Who went into the tank? Any of that is fair, and I've got a complete breakdown a little bit later on. On top of that, we are back to business as usual. The show is setting up like this. Top of the hour, top of hour number two, Alan Shipnook, Golf Magazine senior writer, talks about Tiger Woods and the Open Championship. That means hour number one is wide open. Yogi Ferrell, NBAer, joins me in hour number two. Third hour, MLB Network and Fox Sports Baseball analyst John Morosi is back once again. So lots of opportunities. Hit me up, 1-800-636-8686. All right, let me start with the 2018 Open Championship. I mean, this event, this tournament was complete and utter chaos. Jordan Spieth said on Saturday night, expect the unexpected. And this guy's never been more right. With the wind whipping up, Carnoustie went all Carnasty. Both in terms of how it played and in the way that it jacked with guys' heads. So chaotic that Spieth's disastrous sixth hole, which included a hard target search of the brambles, a cut finger, and a double bogey, and was actually the most predictable thing of the day. That's how it was for Spieth at the Open last year. A wild hole, and then he turns it around. Except that did not happen yesterday. I'm telling you, yesterday was complete chaos. And then the cat made a run. The cat took over the lead. There was a six-way tie for first. If you wanted one scorecard to sum the entire thing up yesterday, check out Rory McIlroy. Two birdies, three bogeys, and an eagle. And that was on the first 14 holes. I mean, it was so weird that Eddie Pepperell, a guy that nobody had even heard of before yesterday, went out and shot 67, completely hung over, had himself right there in contention. Think about that for a minute. Tiger, Rory, Jordan, one single name guy after another, making a run and falling apart, crumbling under the pressure of dealing with that track. But not old Eddie. Eddie had been hitting the sauce the night before and then was getting super saucy on the course. Hey-o. Meanwhile, hey-o. A dude from northern Italy who lives in London, Francesco Molinari, was quietly playing a near-perfect round. Went out in 36, came back in when it mattered most, with the Claret Jug was on the line at 2-under. So while everybody else was melting down, Molinari was just rolling it in. Oh, and he was doing it on a course that even he admitted he wanted nothing to do with in the past because it had been that tough on him. I mean, yeah, that was not the playbook, or that was not the storybook ending that everybody was rooting for, and it's got nothing to do with Molinari. It's just that he's not Tiger Woods. Pretty hard to ignore the Tiger in the living room here. No one's denying that the champ is a worthy champion. Two wins, two runners-up in the last five starts. You might not know who he is, but his peers do. Check out Justin Thomas. He tweeted, quote, "What a round by @FMolinari. Played with him Thursday through Friday. Not surprised. Guy is the hottest player on the planet currently. Bogey-free out there today is a championship round." End of tweet. And that's the key. While everybody else was making one mistake after another, Molinari was just error-free. But don't think for a second that that's easy, that all you have to do is go out there and not make a mistake and the jug is yours. Playing bogey-free golf at your local muni is tough enough. Doing it at Carnoustie on a windy championship Sunday is ridiculous. That just does not happen. That was a stone-cold round. This guy showed no pulse whatsoever. Even if he did admit that he went to the practice greens right when he was done, not to prepare for more golf in the event of a tie, but to avoid watching it on TV. Because my man didn't want to get sick. For most of the day, Molinari wasn't even the guy. And then even after he won, I'm still not sure he's the guy. To be honest with you, I'm not even sure that's where I wanted to start this morning. However, the guy, when the guy doubled 11, bogeyed 12, Molinari just kept on working. He did what nobody did back in the day. This guy did what nobody could do back in the day. Paired with Tiger Woods on a Sunday in a major, he outplayed him. He outclassed him. He got over. You get with Tiger on a Sunday in his prime, it was guaranteed to add four shots to your round. You were staring at 76 even before you teed it up. Not this guy. He blocked out the pressure. He shot 2 under. So while everybody was losing their bleep, getting nostalgic, and preparing to celebrate like it was 08, Molinari crashes the party big time. And he didn't do it by ripping the title in dramatic fashion. I mean, it was the opposite of dramatic, but it was totally professional, and you can't help but hype the guy. Respect the guy for that. Playing on a course that you don't like, playing with a legend, with everybody completely losing their minds and Twitter breaking into a million pieces, and then you don't blink, you don't flinch. You're the champ, even if your friends and family are the only ones in the entire world who were rooting for it. Man's game, F. May not have looked spectacular, but it was unbelievable. What a tremendous round. In the worst conditions, on the biggest stage, when the entire world was pulling for the guy that you were playing with. Couldn't be more impressed. Could not be more impressed. But Tiger gets his own take. Lots of good things about that. Now, I'm not going to be one of you honks. I'm not going all in. I'm not going to guarantee he's going to win a major now, much less run down Jack or blow by him. There was a lot to like. A lot to like in that round. But let's be real. When it came right down to it, this guy was on the back end, back nine, with a chance to win a major, the guy to beat, and his game did not hold up. In two holes, it was gone. But I like the way he handled the defeat. I like the way he showed up. And a competitive Tiger, obviously, is much better for golf. 1-800-636-8686. So I definitely want to hit the Open Championship. And I want to hit Smack Off 24. I've got a two-part recap. Such a complete and exhaustive recap. I've got two parts to the recap. Those who did great, those who did well, and those who crapped the bed. Those who went into the tank. The good, the bad, and the ugly. It's all right there. Smack Off 24. I do want your thoughts. In baseball, Yankees, Mets, canceled. It's good news for the Mets. Best news for the Mets in a long, long time. And there's no denying it. This has been a bad, bad season for the Mets. And it's getting worse and worse. Quintessential Mets. And not just injuries, but illnesses and disease. Like the most Mets thing ever. What do you want to hit on? The phone lines are open. Use them. It is never too soon. Not even the day after the event. The show after the event to try to qualify for the event. Because as big as Smack Off 24 was, the quarter century Smack Off has got to be the biggest thing ever, right? 1-800-636-8686. Early reaction. First email is through on a Monday. This says, Jumpman. Yesterday was complete chaos. Yours, Jeff Passan's Smack Off call. Brandon in the Natty wore Brad in Corona's Twitter account. Few things there. Jeff Passan tried to go wire to wire. He started us off. It did not go well. He was the first one to own it. He was the first one to admit it. Passan himself said, if I were you, I would have run me. And that did not happen. Oh, and Michael Beasley is a Laker. How good is that? It's nothing to laugh at, Alvin. What? I love B. I love B's being in LA. That's awesome. All right, so Jeff Passan started things off on Friday. It did not go well for him at all, but he owned it. You know, he didn't get all sour graped about it. Didn't point the finger. Didn't get all butthurt. Didn't blame me. Didn't blame anybody. Didn't blame anybody but himself. He said, if I were you, I would run me. Sorry about that. Fan smack. I will be back. No doubt, Jeff. No doubt. I mean, that's how it is. It's like golf. You never know. It's witchcraft, right? The smack off is witchcraft. There are guys who have won the thing and then guys who missed the board altogether. I'll see you next year. It's all right. It's all good. He warned Brad in Corona's Twitter account. Brad did not have a Twitter account prior to this event. I have to look and see if it's still up. It is. And my man's winning. He's still winning. Now that I'm looking at it, he's still winning. He's getting over. Just like he smoke fools on the phones. He's killing people on Twitter. It's still up. Brad's having himself a day. Brad's having himself a weekend. Brad's having himself a pretty good life now. $5,000 to the champ. I mean, without giving up my entire recap, you got to admit, when Stevie Carbone called and brought the Cabonation back, how many of you thought right then and there, it's over. It's over. I know that Brad hasn't called yet. I know Mike hasn't called. I know Chael hasn't called. But there's no way any of them have anything that's going to take that down. How many of you thought that? All of you? Yeah, I'm not going to lie. In the back of my mind, once Steve and Sean were done, I thought to myself, damn, I don't know what the others have. That's going to be tough to beat. That was a holy crap moment. And then there's Brad. Didn't blink, didn't flinch, stepped up, crushed everybody. This says, Dear Jimmy Dean, me hear you talk about championships. Me hope there is plenty of queso. Diabetically yours, Hungry Kirsty.
Kirsty Alley.
War the return of dead celebrity smack. That's morbid. No, that's not happening. I'll tell you how I celebrated Friday. Here's how, and if you saw the Instagram martini that I put up, I didn't tell you where I had it. I didn't tell you what was in it. I just said, here's to Smack Off 24. That martini was at, wait for it, freaking Javier's. And can I tell you something? I was not there 20 minutes before freaking Javier himself walked right on by. How cool is Javier? He didn't even walk into his restaurant. He was with his grandkids, walking the mall, at the Spectrum. Dude, I got to tell you something. The second he left, everybody at the table said the exact same thing. Holy crap, that guy looks good. Javier's taking care of himself. My man looks awesome. Anyway, he knew about the smack off. He knew that he was part of Lev's video. He was all about it. He comes up. I kid you not, this is the weirdest thing about Javier. I don't know why he does this. It's the farthest thing from the truth. Like, gives me this bear hug, this giant hug. He goes, I love you. Thank you for everything you've done for me. I wouldn't have this business if not for you. I'm like, what? Javier, man, stop doing that. Stop saying that. The fact that I ever even get a table at your restaurant is amazing. So that's how I celebrated Smack Off 24. By going to Javier's, and the big bonus, Javier showed up. Dear James, and he didn't know us there. We walk right in. It's just Javier doing Javier things. Showing up, looking good, being all class, sitting down for an interview with Lef. Dear James, Noah Syndergaard is such a wimp. Hand, foot, and mouth disease never slows us down. Signed, Tyler in Edmonton's so-called dime piece girlfriends. Casey in New Hampshire wore Mike Phelps versus the Shark, thinking that Tyler's smack-off call was overhyped. Tyler is taking some. Tyler is taking some. I think the bro will be back. Matt's handling it pretty well. Tyler's a little put off. It fellas, that's how it goes, right? You got to stay in this thing, man. You got to stay in this thing. I mean, if for you to point the finger, not own it, blame somebody other than yourself would be to give them exactly what they want. Don't do it. You just own it. It was not your day. It was not your days. And right when you start feeling really good about yourself, then you measure yourself against the best to ever do it. It's all right, man. Back to work. Back to the grind. More lean protein, more bicep days, more time with the lady. I expect you fellas to come back. I'd be disappointed as hell if you went away after that. Man, don't. Man, just bounce back. It's not how many times you get knocked down, right? It's how many times you get back up. You're in the arena. All those people cracking on you have never been in the arena. It's not easy. This email says, Vance, Mac, last week was all about you with the smack off. It was great. But that's over with now. This week, it's all about me. And if you're wondering what I'm talking about, just flip on over to the Discovery Channel. Yours, Jewel. Signed, FBI Mike in Toledo. War Taylor Swift in the Rat Family. Hey, Mike, you just hit on two things that are not permissible. Two things that we do not talk about. Unless Jewel passed away suddenly, and I were to say RIP, there is never any reason for you ever to mention her on this show. Nor ever utter the two words in conjunction. Rat Family. If you want to talk about somebody's family, that's fine. If you want to talk about somebody being a rat because they snitched, that's fine. Do not connect the two words Rat Family. It doesn't exist. And as far as whether or not I would put her in, if it did exist, totally hypothetical, and I don't deal in hypotheticals, moron. All right, so we're trying to build off of the smack off, not have you drag me back down to what life was like prior to the smack off. All right, that's how the show looks. Let's get it. 2018, flying right on by. In case you didn't know this, July 23rd. You want to make sure that if you had a great first half, you finish with authority. Make this year the best year ever. If you're a contractor, a builder, a remodeler, listen up. Elevating your game and finishing the year strong just got a whole lot easier. Thanks to my friends at Lumber Liquidators. They've got a brand new Pro Plus program. LL Pro Plus is Lumber Liquidators' new pro services team that you can call on for all your professional flooring needs. LL Pro Plus will help you absolutely crush it with professional pricing and dedicated support to get you what you need when you need it. So this way, you get all your projects finished on time. LL Pro Plus gives you the ultimate value and quality. And with LL Pro Plus, no job is too large, no job is too small. Put the flooring experts on your team right now. Visit your local Lumber Liquidator store or go to LumberLiquidators.com. LumberLiquidators.com. Let's continue to make 2018 the best year ever with Lumber Liquidators.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
I'm going to start that recap of that smack off in a minute quickly. Zyppa is spelled Z-Y-P-P-A-H. What that is happy Z spelled backwards. So if you go to bed with Zyppa, you wake up with happy Z's. Did you know? One night of bad sleep can ruin your entire day. Are you planning a summer vacation? You do not want to ruin the entire vacation with snoring all night long. Vacations are supposed to be a time for rest and relaxation. How do you expect to get that rest if there's somebody snoring all night long? You need to get a Zyppa before you take that vacation. Again, snoring is not sleeping. If you or somebody you know snores, just go to Zyppa.com. Zyppa is guaranteed to stop snoring. It's guaranteed. You have nothing to lose. If you're not happy for any reason, just return it for a full refund. Here's one more reason to get a Zyppa. If you go to Zyppa.com, you can use the promo code Rome. You'll get free shipping for your Zyppa. Snoring is rude. It's disrespectful. It's offensive. You do not want to ruin another summer vacation with snoring. Get your Zyppa today by going to Zyppa.com. Use the promo code Rome for free shipping and ensure that you have a great summer. This is a no-brainer. Just do it. All right, so Smack Off 24. Just like that. Just like that, Smack Off 24 is in the books. Now, unlike last year, when I did dip for the basement after Smack Off 23 this year. I'm back on the Monday after so we can talk about it and break the whole thing down. Me going on vacation right after that, honestly, is not the best way to go. It's kind of hard for me to set up those vacations and match up everybody's schedule and make it all work. So sometimes we get stuck and I get jammed that way. Not this year. This year, I'm here to talk about it. So many moments that I want to revisit and I want to reset. So if you heard the show on Friday and you want to react to what you heard on Friday and you don't need my reaction, you have your own reaction, do it. Hit me up. What was your favorite call? Did I get it right? Who showed up huge? Who disappointed the most? I want to see all those tweets and emails because I do owe you a post-game show. And since I didn't do it then, I'm going to do it in part right now. Hit me up. Let's talk about what went down on Friday. I mean, if that thing doesn't jump the weekend, what would? Let's take a look back. Let's take a look and a start with some of the analytics. Friday Smack Off set the bar for most calls taken during the event since 2001. Remember, I started the show by saying, you better call now. Get in. You're going to get shut out. Not all of you who deserve a shot to be on the air are going to get on the air. I was actually wrong about that. 19 in total got through. An average of, what, 2.5 calls per segment? So if you were looking for volume, you got volume. If you were looking to hear some fools get wrecked by the manual buzzer, then you got that too. Because of those 19 calls, 32%, and this is hard to imagine, right? Because this day is supposed to be for the best of the best. But then again, the bar is higher on this day. 32% of those who got through got absolutely hammered by LT.
Rick in Buffalo, we have to absorb that profile picture that looks like a horseshoe crab wearing glasses.
And granted, your skill set isn't that great.
I started working on my call at 9 a.m. Pacific. That's what I've prepared.
Left, Doug. Nothing. Not a damn thing. The same thing he's been doing the past 2 years, Bubba. Hell, Bubba, I'm flaming, but I'm out, man. I got to go. I love you.
Remember the time when you, Alvin, and me were at a Carl's in Rosemead, and we saw Najee Davenport rounding third and go into a laundromat with a boner and sweatpants?
He needs to put down his mom's copy of 50 Shades of Grey and pull his pants up and do something productive in the world, like chew a box of razor blades so he would swallow his own for a change.
Mona, you gotta be kidding me, Mona.
You don't like that cop.
I don't like that cop. Not a very good cop.
So Jay Stu, for instance, knew exactly what he was doing. He wanted that buzzsaw. Mona from Knoxville must have thought that she was on satellite radio or a podcast or Jim Rome on Showtime, because that was one of the dirtier, more inappropriate takes and lines that you've ever heard on this show. Makes you wonder what else she had after that blast. Bodie just did what Bodie does. No surprise that Bodie flamed out and self-ejected. I mean, that's what Bodie does. He's still the best. Danica, I'm not going to lie. I was stoked to get your call, but very disappointed that you could not find a good connection for the big stage. That's on you, not on me. John in New York. My man, that was one of the worst smack-off calls ever. And I didn't even let you get halfway through. But you're a good dude. You're a good dude, but I'm going to keep it real. That was more hack-off than smack-off. How do you hear the 14 calls that come before you and then stay on the line to try to deliver something that whack? But I've still got your back. John, you can call anytime. Anytime, just not on that day. Unless you commit and go back to work. And Chad in L.A., dude, your stock has never been lower. I was the one who had your back. I was the one who said you were a sleeper and a great value bet. And then you show up with the worst cell service of the day and said you started working on your call at 9 a.m. before cutting out and getting run. You started working on your smack-off call at 9 a.m. the day of the smack-off. I mean, the amount of respect that you showed the smack-off on Friday is the amount of respect that I have for you right now. None. Come on, man. You got to be better than that. Especially when I have your back and I'm hyping you up. Now that that's out of the way, why don't we get to the calls that did finish? Checking in early, hitting the board with his first career top tenner, Matt in Van. He got off a few good shots on Lef, Brad, and Chad.
American clones have been calling me Pretty Boy because I go to the dentist twice a year, and I pay more than $9 for my haircut. Jesus Christ, Lef, did you catch the irony in the fact that you, Lef, completely jumped the shark using a video featuring the guy who originally jumped the shark? And holy crap, Mike and Indy's retirement bit, while slightly less corny, was equally embarrassing. Everyone saw it coming. No one was impressed. But at least neither of them have adopted Brad's strategy of just being a pitchy bitch with D-minus smack. This cool just talks like a game show host on bath salts, and it still doesn't hide the fact that he has worse smack than everyone in the smack-off field not named Chad in L.A. And speaking of that ho-ass non-factor, Chad's parents are actually holding a reveal party this weekend, even though Chad is 32 years old.
Dude, a gender reveal party for a 32-year-old person? Are you kidding me with that? And that take about Brad Smack didn't hold up very well either. It's all right, Matt. It's all right. You did all right. You did all right. You did all right. You had some moments. Now, I did want and expect more from you and Tyler both, but there is no denying that you guys were the gas cans for months leading up to the Smack Off, and you helped drive a grip of hype heading into the event. In ninth place. The 2010 champ, Vic in NoCal.
Little Alvy's an animal. Dude, that guy gets more ass than Kelly Clarkson's Lazy Boy. Little Alvy multiplies like a Catholic rabbit. Maybe he can help out Caleb in Green Bay, man, because the only women in Caleb's life are Betty Crocker, Little Debbie, and Wendy. I mean, look, I'm not saying Caleb isn't skilled with the ladies, but if he were a Star Wars character, his name would be Han Solo. I mean, my man Caleb has such little game, and he's so fat, that he doesn't invite chicks over to his pad to Netflix and chill. He invites them over to Netflix and grill.
So Vic had his moments, obviously. He had moments on Friday, but for the third year in a row, Broadway delivered the week of, but not the day of. Dude is still a content machine with great game, but he's got to figure out how to ramp up, not down, on the big stage. Maybe the best eighth place finish in the history of the event goes to Caleb in Green Bay, who made his call from a time machine way back in 1995.
I would never miss the first annual Great American Smack-Off. I knew that 1995 was going to be all that and a bag of chips, so I'm going to hit this competition harder than Natron means business up the middle on first and goal. Let's get after it, Jim. You know why I take a lot of scuds? Because I get a lot of scuds. And you know this better than anyone. There is a long, long line of callers waiting to take a swing at me like I'm a pinata full of welfare checks, spouting the same unoriginal takes, fat, virgin, lives with his parents. But it just goes to remind everyone that your listeners are not clones of you. They're clones of each other, clogging up the phone lines, jamming up the fax machine day after day for years on end. Would it shock anybody when you open up the fish wrap and see they finally caught the Unabomber? He won't be living in some shack in Montana. He'll be like a mechanic in Escondido wearing an extra Sports 690 t-shirt and asking the feds for a drug test drop. Crown, Wisconsin. Huge.
All right, so that call right there was clever as hell. And you need to hear the whole thing to really appreciate his angle. All the references were an homage to the first Great American Smack-Off back in 95. Very smart, very well executed. But there were still seven better. Seven better. That's how good a day that was. Let me take a short time out. We'll come back, and I will pick up that list on the other side of this. First interview, not until the top of the hour. Alan Shipnook joins me then. We talk Tiger Woods. Oh, and the guy who won the Open Championship. And more. Top of the hour. Hit me up now. There is news on Josh Gordon, which I want to get to. Ryan Lochte went Ryan Lochte again. Good day today. Lots to cover. Right now, though, time for a sports update. Better late.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Monday is Nasty the Pros Day, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Go to CBSSportsRadio.com/AskThePros. Make sure you get down a question. Listen later on. I might answer yours. And think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. I mentioned Ryan Lochte's back in the news. Banned for 14 months by the anti-doping agency. Why? He posted a picture of getting an IV. You cannot do that. I mean, you can't get an IV. Somebody in his position cannot get an IV unless it's the result of hospitalization. If you're in hospital, in the hospital, and you need an IV, that's fine. That's not what this is. It doesn't even matter that it was not a banned substance that he was getting. You cannot get an IV. And he did. And then went on social with it. I want to be very careful how I say this. And believe me, I'm not one of those guys who goes off half-cocked. I'm not like some hot take artist. I want to be very careful how I'm going to say what I'm about to say. Ryan Lochte is dumb. Cheer! This is a dumb guy. To do something like that and not know. And now he's been suspended for 14 months. And I want to spend more time on this later, but since the story broke, I just want to acknowledge it. Lochte is dumb. And the best part about Lochte being dumb, he doesn't know he's dumb. Cheer! I mean, that's unfathomably dumb. I don't remember the last time I got on the air, looked into a camera and said, man, you know what? That guy's dumb. But that guy is dumb. Cheer! Anyway, more on that later on. That's an incredible story. Let me go back to my recap of the Smack Off, which was an incredible show. So I mentioned the top eight, which brings me to the rookie, Rick, in Buffalo. Rick went off for 5 minutes and crushed everybody in his crosshairs, starting with Jeff in Richmond and Vic from NoCal.
And greetings, Jeff in Richmond. I'm Pedro Martinez. You're Don Zimmer. And you better get your decrepit fat ass back in the dugout. And welcome back to Twitter, Vic in NoCal. Didn't take you long for you to start bitching about losing all 5,000 of your followers after the Twitter purge. But what the hell did you expect after following back 5,000 robot whores last month, you scumbag?
I mean, listen, it's one thing to take a run at some of the top dogs in the field. One thing to take a run at pretty much the entire field. But quite another, and I've not seen this before, quite another to take down your own old man in the field. Something Rick also did.
My first love as a kid was Yankees baseball, and while I still root for the team, I absolutely despise their deplorable fan base. And there's no bigger a-hole Yankee fan out there than my old man. He's the type of insufferable D-bag who brags about having seen every inning of every game since 1960. Sure you have, you fat ass. Funny how you leave out the fact you sleep through the last three innings every night. And your snoring's really starting to piss off Mom. And I'm sick of her calling me to bitch about it.
This guy just annihilated his dad. Took apart his old man. And why don't you just jam a Zipa in there? That would fix it. Plus, if that weren't jarring enough, his war at the end was an all-timer.
War, road rage with the kids in the back seat. It's never too early to teach him not to take crap from anyone.
That was Rick in Buffalo. Hawk, really quick. Put on the phones. Just do it. Don't ask why. Just do it. Adam Hawk, EP. All right, so I missed the Woodscopes on Friday. And apparently Rick, was Rick a topic or did Rick call in? Was there another anecdote coming off of Rick's call?
Yeah, Rick put himself with a landline in a part of his house where he didn't have any facilities to relieve himself. So he also brought in, quote, a piss bucket. Can I say that? A pee bucket?
You can, yeah.
A bucket for urinating into the room that he was making his call from because he didn't know when he was going to get on.
That's good. That's good. Why not just go adult diaper with it?
To me, it's a very respectful move to the show.
Right.
He's putting the show before his own relief.
A diaper would have been even more respectful. All right, that's good. That's smart. All right, thank you. That's smart. He didn't know when he was going to get on, so he brought a bucket with him. Coming in. Nice job, Rick. Well done. coming in at 6th on Friday. Mark in Hollywood, the 2013 champ, who, like everybody else, went right in on Team Canada.
Speaking of Matt and Van and Tyler and the blah, 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 I really think you two believers are confused about what being fit means. It doesn't count when you're rail thin due to your booger sugar diet and your exercise regimen of sticking your fingers down each other's throats. So you have a stable country with a smart, level-headed, non-racist leader who isn't cucked by Vladimir Putin on the daily. Boring! Now, please, get your asses back up north, and y'all better sponsor my Canadian citizenship when Trump deports black people. And for the rest of y'all, man, I don't care if you're the VIC, the BIC, if you're a DIC, like MIKE, I got a PhD in snackology, the title is coming back by way of Philly, so forget the 5G's, Rome, I did this for free, and there's only one thing left to say, Cronny!
It's a great effort by Mark. Nice, nice effort, but on a day like Friday, not even good enough to get into the top five. Let alone a crowning. That tells you how good Friday was. Quickly, let's go to the phones. I said if you've got a take and you want to react to it, you know where to find me. Let's go to San Antonio. He called in midweek. He was not there on Friday. He could have been. He was invited, but I'm sure he's got a thought or two. Gino in San Antonio. Gino, what's up?
Romy, once again, wonderful smack off. Absolutely crushed it. As I said last week, I could not listen to it live, but I did watch it on CBS Sports via a DVR later. You know, I got to be honest, I've never watched the show before. It's my first time actually seeing it on TV. A few things really stuck out to me watching the show. Number one, are Rich Ackerman's family members being held at gunpoint during the show, or just why is he so pasty and sweaty? That dude looks more nervous than a freshman at the prom. Hey, Ackerman. You're reading sports highlights, not disarming a nuclear bomb, bro. Easy, big fella. Anyway, two things stuck out. I've never been a big fan of Jayla Cream, but I have to admit he did bring the heat and more than a few times had me laughing extremely hard. I thought he actually deserved second place personally, but I called my shot last week, and of course I was right. Brad took home the hardware. Why? Because he wanted to. Another thing that seemed really weird to me, Rump, is Cheryl Sonnen's call coming in out of the top 10? I don't know if you've ever seen Cheryl fight, but, you know, he always comes in second place, Rome, so that was kind of shocking to me. I've never seen anyone give themselves such a horrific beating as Cheryl did. That call was such a rambling wreck that Georgia Tech wants to make it their mascot. Not since Bodie choked on his own saliva during a call has anybody sounded as pathetic as you, Cheryl. And between Tiger Woods' play at the Open and Sean Pendergast's takeover of Carbone's call, I have to say this was a strong weekend for Kaplan Nation. I was happy to see both of those things. And Rick in Buffalo, despite sounding alarmingly constipated during your entire call, and apparently with less than 2 hours of bladder control, you had some pretty funny moments, specifically what Rome just mentioned, cracking on your own dad and teaching your son how to be a proper New Yorker through road rage. Less. Your call was terrible. All you did was prove that without gimmicks, you're all hat and no horse. I would have slotted Caleb in your spot easily. A much better call. Vic, I don't know, guys. You turned yourself into a parody of Vic lately. You need to retool your game and come back with something that isn't a retread of a Scorsese movie. You're a tough guy on a cell phone act was fresh like the first 80 times I heard it. Now you're Jeff in Richmond. All formula, no content. And oh, yeah, the Bacon Bros. I told you Alanis and Levine would stink up the joint last week, and they did. Matt, congratulations on holding down the Canadian Memorial slot by coming in 10th. But Tyler, wow, what a wet the bed, bro. I didn't even call when I came in the same place as you did, except my dignity is intact. I'll tell you what I hated most about your call. I mean, I would tell you, except I almost immediately fell asleep. I needed a Zipa badly. Next year, maybe you can spice up your call, add a little more volume and intensity to it by bringing in a tag team with Kawhi Leonard for your call. You know, he doesn't know how to talk, but at least he won't embarrass himself. Next year, instead of renting a bike and a babe, rent a better caller. Eat kids, Rome.
Gino! That's as good a recap from a caller as I've ever heard of the Smack Off. Nice job.